Please shanti am. Please. Good afternoon. I welcome you with all my heart. It's good to be with you again. I love you all. All is well. Happy Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to our Jewish friends. Most of them are not here. They're probably in the synagogue worshiping. I hear it's expensive to go to the synagogue in Yom Kippur these days. You have to buy a seat for $125.
Even God couldn't afford it.
He's here. $125, you should be able to take a seat home. $125, you can go see Madonna concert. But all is well. It's time for the annual Yom Kippur joke about the rabbi who was preparing the synagogue for the high holy days. And he takes out the Torah, the ancient scriptures, and gets in front of it and starts chanting. He starts beating his chest with his hand, saying, "I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing." The cantor who sings this chant happens to see the rabbi doing this, and he wonders what he's doing, but he says it must be something good. So he walks over to the Torah and looks at it and starts doing the same thing. Starts beating his chest with his hand, saying, "I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing." The janitor happens to be there watching the whole procedure. And he wanted to get into the yak too. So he went over and started beating his chest, saying, "I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing." The rabbi looks at the cantor and says, "Look who thinks he's nothing." You won't hear that again until the next Yom Kippur.
Now I know it was here a year before.
I receive interesting phone calls from people all over the world. I got one this morning from Minneapolis. That's all over the world. A lady asked me an interesting question. She asked me, "Robert, what happens to a person who's in the presence of a yani or a sage for many, many years? They do not become enlightened, and then they die. What happens to them?" That's a fair question. So we'll talk about this, because I think many of you wondered the same thing. Where you keep telling me I'm not enlightened yet, what will happen? Of course, in truth, you're already enlightened. Nothing has to happen. Nothing ever happens. It's up to you to see this, to remove the obstacles that make you think you're not enlightened. But in any event, one of three things will happen to such a person. They will either become liberated when they drop the body and never have to return again in the body. Second choice. They will be born to spiritual parents who are really totally evolved in this path. And they will be born as a baby into those circumstances. Third choice. They will be born on another planet. It's much more advanced than this planet. Where there's total peace and bliss and happiness. And they will find liberation on that particular planet sooner or later. So you have three choices. We'll talk about them a little bit. The first one. For a devotee who has been sincere on this particular path, who has really put this path first, put the teaching first, for such a one, they're already liberated while in the body, but they don't know it. So when they drop the body, they become totally free, becoming all pervasive, absolute reality, becoming the entire universe, the essence is in the entire universe. Yet you do not lose your knowledge of who you are. This is very paradoxical when you think about it. Every enlightened being is also the whole universe. Every plant, every bug, every animal, every mineral, every human being, every planet, every universe, everything. An awakened one is part of the whole system. It's in all things. Of course, the question arises in the Ayani, the one without spiritual knowledge, will ask, how can this be? How can all of the enlightened beings that have been here since the beginning of time all be in the same place at the same time? And this is exactly what happens. This is why I tell you so often that everything is sacred. The ground upon which you walk is holy ground. Everything is sacred. You should have reverence for all things. All things are God, so to speak. The leaf, the cockroach, the bedbug, the mass murderer. Everything is God. But most people don't understand this. They judge by appearances, and they want solutions immediately for the things that they see. But as you become evolved, you begin to intellectually understand this thoroughly. The whole universe is Brahman. The whole universe is effortless, choiceless, pure awareness. Satchitananda. So a realized being is all pervasive and is all of these things. number two. If you need more training, more knowledge, more understanding, and you are very sincere in this body, in this life, you will go into a family and be reborn in a family that is very spiritually oriented, who are on the brinks of realization. You become their child. All the preliminary work has been done for you. And that particular incarnation will be self-realized. Number three, there are many planets in this universe. Billions and jillions of suns. Each sun has a certain amount of planets revolving around its orbit. Many of these planets contain life. Life forms such as us. So a being who in this body has again been sincere, obedient to the self, putting God, reality first in their life, letting go of all the nonsense and foolishness and things that bother most people, fears, anxieties, needs, desires, wants, giving up all of these things, attachments, depending on your karma, where you go, this particular being will go to an advanced planet, which is far more advanced than this earth, where there are no wars, no more man than humanity to man, and these beings will become free in that particular planet in a specified time. Interesting, isn't it? When I was 12 years old, I used to ask my mother, "What am I doing here? I don't belong here. Why am I here?" And my mother used to say, "You're here to be like everybody else, to get a job, to have a profession, to go into this world, make something out of yourself." And she used to retaliate with, "Do you know what you want to be when you grow up?" I used to say, "Nothing." I don't think I knew what I was talking about at that time. But anyway, after a while, she thought we should go see Uncle Louie. Uncle Louie was a physician. And she told him what I was saying, what I was doing. So he said, "I'll take care of this." He gave me a physical examination. Everything was fine. And again he asked me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I told him, "I don't care what I am when I grow up. I just want to know what I'm doing here. What am I doing here? And he asked me, man on this earth? So I said, no, in this body. What am I doing in this body? I feel like I'm in prison. I feel as if I'm confined to something. So he looked at me and he said something to my mother about a psychiatrist. And next day my mom took me to see a lady psychiatrist. She was a German lady from Austria. Her name was Sonja Lichtenstein. Lichtenstein. My mom told her the story, what I've been doing. And she took me into her office. She had a nice couch that I was lying down on. I enjoyed it. She asked me, so you don't think you're the body? You think you're someone else? And she giggled. And he said, you know, Freud used to think the same thing. So I said, who was Freud? She said, never mind. Again, she asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I asked her, why is everybody asking me this question? There's really nothing I care to be when I grow up at all. I just feel confined to my body. I feel as if I'm in prison. I don't belong here. So she said, don't worry about that. I will get a little man out of here, out of your body. There's a little man in your body that has to come out. And we will work on this. So I went to see every Friday. I loved it. Due to the fact my mom gave me some extra money, and I would not have to go to school that day, or half a day of school. And I was able to ride on the bus. I really enjoyed those times. I went to her for about 6 months. She finally called my mother and recommended another psychiatrist, a man. These people kept asking me, what do I want to be when I grow up? So I went to see this man, who was a different psychiatrist. I really enjoyed going to him also. Finally I got it. And one day he asked me, Robert, do you know what you want to be when you grow up? I said, yes, I want to be an erotic. And that was the end of my visit with psychiatrists.
You're cured.
Now, what does all of this have to do with our talk today? Absolutely nothing. What is the moral of this story? It has no moral whatsoever. Just something I thought I'd throw in. The absolute truth is no one dies. No one is born. No one prevails. If you can only accept that for yourself, understand its meaning, you would be totally free right now, completely free, completely liberated. Well, I was telling you before about going to different planets and the rest of it, is that's a nonsense. There's really nowhere to go. Yet it does appear this way to people who don't understand these things. The other planets, other universes, are just like this earth. This earth does not really exist. It is not here at all. Neither is your body. But as long as you believe you are the body, or you are the world, and the world is real for you, all of the things that we're speaking about will happen. But to whom will they happen? To the one that does not understand. It is like when you go to see a movie. To whom does the movie happen? To you. You're watching the movie. You may agree with some of the characters in the movie, you may disagree with some of the characters in the movie, you may get excited over some scenes in the movie, but you're the one who's doing all of these things. The movie itself is impersonal. It's just a movie. If you want to get excited about it and cry and laugh, that's your choice. That's what you want to do. Life is the same way. We have to understand life as a movie. Everything that you behold with your senses are images on the screen of life. Images superimposed on the screen of life. None of it is real. Just as the movie is not real. Would you leave the movie when you go home and think the movie was real? And take all the characters with you? And think about them day and night? Of course not. You usually forget the movie as soon as you walk out of the theater. Or some people carry it with them a little bit and then let go of it later. But what do you do when you let go of the movie? You go back to yourself, what you think you are. You go back to your life, your problems. And you forget about the movie. Life is like that. Different things happen in this world, wars, man to humanity to man, wonderful flowers grow, the sky is blue, there are mountains, everything appears real. And you go for it. You identify with it. And it's just like your reaction to the movie. Only when you identify with the things of life that appear to be real, you become part of that picture. You become part of that scenario. You become part of that happening. So if you believe things are wonderful, they become sort of wonderful for you. If you believe things are terrible, they become terrible. You make these things happen by the way you allow yourself to think. By the way you allow yourself to feel. what you accept, what you deny, what you give up. All of these attractions, all of these attachments, all of these feelings form what you call your personality. So your personality is nothing but a bunch of feelings, emotions that you've picked up by habit. And you react this way wherever you go. You react from the emotions, the habits that you've picked up along the way since you were a little one. And this is what makes your personality. You hear people say, this person has a wonderful personality. They picked up these habits, these feelings, and when they were a child. Other people have a terrible disposition, terrible personality. They also picked up all these feelings, these emotions, when they were a child. And all they can do is react to conditioning. When you begin to pursue spiritual life, you begin to understand all these things must go. All these things must be given up. You begin to see yourself sort of like a light bulb. Your true nature is bright and shining. You are the light. But if someone comes and puts a piece of cloth over the light, then another piece of cloth over the light bulb, another piece of cloth over the light bulb, soon you're no longer able to see the light. You see the cloth. Therefore, you don't want to try to put other things over the cloth to be able to see the light. What you want to do is to remove the cloth layer by layer until the light shines once again. So it is with your life. You are Brahman. You are that absolute reality, the ultimate oneness, nirvana. You are the I am that I am. God, reality, this is you. But for some strange reason, you have covered yourself with layers of ignorance. You have become conditioned. You have a covering called a body, which appears to you to be the real McCoy. And you go through life trying to appease the body. Trying to make the body happy. Doing things so the body will be satisfied. Yet with a little investigation, you will begin to see that you're not the body. The body belongs to the I thought. The body belongs to the ego, to the mind. Consequently, you begin to work on yourself by removing the ego, the mind, and the eye. As you continue to observe this and see this in yourself, you begin to realize that the I thought is the main culprit. For you say I all day long. I love this, I hate this. I feel this, I don't feel that. You're always using the first pronoun, I. Therefore, everything is attached to this I. Your spiritual sadhana becomes one of removing the I thought totally, completely. For if you remove the I thought, everything else will go with it, and you'll be totally free. It's like trying to take off the layers of cloth on the light. If you take them off one by one, it may take a long time. But if you go directly to the source, which is the light, then the cloth will burn up by itself. This is what we do here in Advaita Vedanta. We understand I am the light, I am Brahman. I have always been Brahman. I am Shiva, I am Krishna. I am all of the gods and goddesses. I am that. I may appear as a body, but I am not that body. There is no mind that controls me at all. For I am the light of the world. I am that. Nothing else exists but that. You turn within to that. You turn within to the self. By turning within, I always refer to negating the body totally and completely. Trying to realize even intellectually that there never was a body to begin with. There is no body. There is only the light, consciousness, self-contained absolute reality. That's what I am. I am. I am. As you begin to think this way, you will notice that you become more expansive. You begin to feel yourself in the mountains, in the trees, in the ocean, in the sky. At first you only have a glimpse of these things. But as you continue, you find all of your so-called anger subsides. You become a peaceful person, very peaceful. All of your needs and your wants subside. All of your fears subside. You're no longer afraid anyone's going to do anything to you. Well, there's no you left that anybody can do anything to. The you has been transmitted, transmuted, transcended. You have become total freedom, total love, which you always were in the beginning. How do you begin? You begin by observing everything. Observing yourself, especially. How you act every day. What you feel every day. You observe your emotions, your reactions. Watching what motivates you, what moves you. And then you inquire, to whom do all these things come? Who is feeling all these things? Who feels the thoughts, the emotions, the fears? Who has been feeling all these things all these years? I have. Well, where does I come from? What is the source of this I? The I has to have a source. It couldn't come from nothing. The source is the absolute reality. The absolute reality never produced an I to begin with. The I thought has been a delusion all this time. As you trace it back to the source, which is the Brahman, consciousness, you find that the I burns up inside the source. What really happens is it never existed, and it just disappears. Just as when you walk out of the movie is over. What is left is a screen. The screen is a substratum of the movie. So the source of you is a substratum of your image of the body and of all of the images in this world. You are the source yourself. The source has been you all this time. When you know this, it makes you feel so good you start laughing hysterically. All these years you've been searching and looking and trying to change things, trying to add things unto yourself, trying to acquire things. When you have been the source of everything to begin with. Everything you've been looking for has been within yourself. You've been that. You then begin to surrender everything to yourself. You surrender all of your thoughts, all of your feelings. You surrender all of your desires, all of your wants to the self. You pull it all inwardly. You become like the sea and its bubbles. The bubbles break, they form, they break, they form back into the sea, and they become bubbles again. You no longer become a bubble. It comes and goes every second, every minute. You become the sea. I am the bubble, make me the sea. And we'll sing that. It is now time to play Stump the Guru. Can we pass the best going on tonight?
Yes. How can we see more clearly that there is nobody home? Even with self-inquiry, there seems to be a doer.
In the beginning stages, there's always a doer. You have to do something to see more clearly. This is what self-inquiry is all about. You are doing the self-inquiry in order to awaken. I always tell you there's nothing you have to do because you're already awake. Just see it, feel it, become it. Yet you will not listen to me. Therefore, we have to use methods, sadness, in order to get deeper inside of us and wake up. Self-inquiry is one of the methods that work quite well. They take you a long way. Therefore, constantly practice this method. Do not look for the day or the time when you will become enlightened. Or they tell you so often, there's no time, there's no space. Time and space do not exist. What this means is there's no time that you can become enlightened because the time is now. There's no becoming anything. There's no space, which means there's no room for you to become enlightened. There's no room for any change, you see what I'm saying? Everything is very compact. It's a garbage compactor. It makes the garbage so compact it don't work for anything else. This is the nature of this universe. It's compact. It's called consciousness. Self-contained reality. There's no room, there's no time, there's nothing. It's just the present moment. The present moment is forever. When we're able to see this, we'll not question when we're going to be enlightened, when is something going to happen, when we're going to feel something. You do the work that has to be done. You do not think about it, or analyze it, or judge it. Just do it. Some people say self-inquiry is for beginners. We're all beginners, and we're all losers. We're all losers, we're all winners, we're all ends, we're all beginning, we're everything. We're the whole thing. You don't think at all. Stop the thinking. The thinking gets in trouble. Just do what you have to do without thinking about it. And then you'll see progress. For in reality, there's no future, there's no past. No beginning of no end. Everything just is. And the difference is like that. You are that, you are Brahman, you are free, right now.
Each day you take the dog for a walk, do you think a few minutes before you must get ready to go for a walk, or does a light go on in you? Does a light go on and you know it's time, or does your body just move to get the dog and go out without thought?
Number three.
This is great.
You just do what has to be done.
What things exist in your life that you want to retain? Money? Health? Do you ever desire to eat minutes before you... No. Do you ever desire to eat minutes before you do and start thinking about food? Do you ever think about your health?
Hold it.
God. Perfect answer.
Well, the person who had that question is sincerely really interested in it. What did I say? Everything was that, there's no dual. We have to get done, get done. You see me as a body. You for lost sleep is better than sleep. Sleep a little. Take a mission for a walk. It does all of those things. But there's no doer present. And everything is done. It has to be done. Nobody's around to say, I am doing this and I am doing that.
Is it the same as complete spontaneity?
You can say that, yes. It has to be done to maintain, sustain this body, and give this body to you. It's done. It's done. So as far as this is concerned, I just mean this. Nothing is being done, there's no door, nothing's happening. It appears to you that something is happening.
Doesn't it appear to you that something's happening?
No. I see movement taking place, and nothing's happening.
Isn't movement taking place?
Mm-hmm.
You see movement taking place.
Yes.
Oh, that's movement taking place.
So you?
There's no movement taking place to you?
I see that it's happening. I see that it's like watching a movie. I watch the movie and see the sights and see the film. Nothing's happening. I'm just sitting in the seat watching. So this is probably a case of being part of the movie when you look at it. If you're doing things like in the movie, eating, walking, sleeping, drinking. But I am not doing anything, I'm just observing and watching. I do absolutely nothing. There's a dance here because if I get up and I walk and move and from here and do this, the whole thing is very paradoxical, of course, and contradictory. And yet it's the absolute truth. No one does anything. There's nothing to do. Always go back to the compact garbage bin. The whole universe is compact. Self-contained, absolute reality. There's no place to do anything. How can there be a do of any kind? There's no place for anything. It's filled with Brahman. Brahman is the whole universe. There's nothing but Brahman. You can call the absolute reality, the true awareness. That is the only existence. There's no room for anything to take place. But the mesmerism of most of us men makes us think we're doing something, makes us think something's happening sometimes. You're not often sure nothing's happening.
There isn't even the illusory appearance of something happening.
There's no illusory appearance at all, it's just the self. And at the same time, I see everything isn't. At the same time, I'm aware of everything else. And to me, it's like a movie.
But there is that appearance.
The appearance is nothing. The appearance is both. Nothing is happening.
It's nothing, but it's nonetheless appearing.
It seems to appear.
As though it were.
It appears to no one. There's no impression of person.
Who perceives it?
You don't perceive it. You don't perceive it.
Is there a perception?
There's no perception. But at the same time, there appears to be a perceiver and perception. So you figure it out.
It's separate. It's like a greased tennis ball.
It's just God got drunk one night.
Yeah, and he stayed that way. He's never been sober.
Maybe the next question will clarify.
So, Robert, is it this right that consciousness is absolute non-motion, non-notion, right? And you're identifying with that. You're in that position completely, so that's your reality. And it's observing the appearance as something, as a movie. But it's not real. It knows it's not real, right?
If you can explain it, it's not that.
It's not that, that's just an explanation, but isn't that an explanation that seems to
be... In a way, but if you talk about an experience, you don't know it's like that. It's beyond anything you can ever imagine. It's beyond the senses, of course. And all we have are the senses to deal with, the senses to judge with. So you come up with all this question and all these things.
If you rest beyond the mind, then... That should happen by itself. If you rest beyond movement, the mind is in movement and change.
There's no movement, there's just that. You are that. What do you see? It's a movement. Sometimes it's a movement.
It's a habit.
It's bad habit.
Addiction.
Everything that you say, think, or touch is false. All of your belief system will be false. All the truth that you're looking for is false. Stop looking and just be. That's what you have to do. Not be this or that, just be.
After your age 14 experience, did you immediately identify with self and no longer with physical body? Or was it a gradual lessening of identification with body and move and more identification with self week by week until it was total identification with self?
My experience is what there was total and absolute. It was a gradual body that just happened. I've been like that ever since. There's no gradual thing to anything. Everything has been perfectly clear to me.
cleansing of everything. That's what I've done ever since. There's no progression. When you walk into a dark room, turn on the light, the light is looking one little at a time. The practice is very lethal, the darkness is gone forever. Soldiers with total self-realization. When it happens, you're totally realized, lethal. And you laugh because you've always been this way. Darkness has just been removed. And so it's the revolution.
Dear Robert, please describe the self in bits and pieces as best you can.
Yeah, just try that. I want to hear this. Chop it to pieces. Let's have a little hunks of
it.
Pass them around. The hell with the bonbon and the prasad.
The only answer is silence.
When one awakens, does one automatically become young?
And young is a name given to the enlightened master. And the enlightened master doesn't have a name. If anybody walks around and says, I'm young, be careful. When you are the self, there's something beyond description. But for the people who are not the self, so to speak, they think of themselves. You have to use words, experiences, pictures, to describe the experience. So all these words, yanin, moksha, liberation, self-realization, are all for the yanin. When people believe they're human, before you're waking being, there's no such word as yanin. Only the ego performs at the end. The true sage has no name. The true sage just is. Always will be. Always was. So names are materials, used in different ways. I have a dream for the Mahama Ashram. You have known as Ramana Swami, Ramana Swami. People gave you names. And so gave the name of the Mahama Ashram. You have a concern for this. You have said, yes, call me Mahama Ashram, call me this and that, call me that. This was along with it. I'm going to my watch and say, what's happening? I'm going to go out and say, him. Me. My person. As far as he was concerned, he didn't have a name. If you are the all pervading universe, you can have a name. We can use a name. You are all pervading. You can be called a tree, a sword, a mass, or anything. You know, the mass of everything. Especially when it's a piece of humor.
Thank since you are one with the self, what physical experience do you have during and after the massage? What does a massage do for you?
Massage basically you can have a problem.
The apparent body, right?
Just like eating, you're eating. Same thing. The only difference between you and me is that I know everything is false and nothing exists. And I find that the body goes through the motions of existence. The body that goes through the motion of existence does not really exist at all. And this is a hard one for me to understand. Maybe I can sit here talking like this. Because the body appears to exist, otherwise I don't have anybody talking, there'd be no teachings. No one will ever notice something else in this universe besides the emotions and the sense that we're doing. So for some reason I found myself saying this shit to what I'm doing here. You see a body doing things with those emotions. I see nothing. The same time I see the reason. So then you see. Sleep your brain.
That's why we're here. For example. Dear Robert, if you are permanently aligned in consciousness with the self, what does sitting in the silence for 6 hours a day do for you? If you stop sitting in silence, how would your inner experience be different?
It does absolutely nothing for me. It does for you. It makes a difference if you sit or don't sit or lie or stand or move.
You've always done this before,
yes. I didn't say those exact times. Sometimes I'll sit in the room.
Robert, earlier you said that the I thought is the body. And yet, the I thought knows nothing about me anymore. And later you said that I am nothing.
The I thought is illusory. It didn't exist at all. The I am is Brahman. The I am is consciousness. So the I am consciousness appears during the universe. And take care of the body. The I thought is an appearance. It doesn't even exist at all. As a human appearance, you pretty much go through situations, conditions. This is the I thought that does this. What I am is God. They're both totally different.
And then God isn't involved
with your
illusion.
God doesn't even exist.
Well,
when we talk about God,
then consciousness then is involved with the body.
Consciousness is not involved in anybody.
there's nobody to be involved with. The process of the body appears to be the body. What makes you walk? What makes you go to a movie? What makes you do anything again? It is a door that's doing this, the iPhone. It's the appearance. The iPhone is all these things.
Going to a movie is not understanding what's making my heart beat.
The same process that makes you go to a movie makes your heart beat. There's only one process that controls everything. The life force, it's called a life force. Please give everything for you. All the involuntary action, the dividing, the going within. The digestion, the assimilation. Everything. Identification. Whatever's happening to you is the act of this. But the reality transcends the act of completely and totally. Therefore, when you see a sage, as far as you're concerned, the sage is being motivated by consciousness. Because there's no longer an eyesight left. So the sage is being motivated by consciousness. In reality, the sage knows there's no motivation whatsoever.
It actually is in the stage.
No sense, man. All the things that we do, I'm trying to figure out. There's nothing that we do is, just remember that. Nothing that we do is. Look at thought and fancy.
When you said you had your breakthrough in the dream, my understanding is you did go to others, to other people. You did four groups. There must have been some individual over there.
Actually, what happened, and I didn't know what happened to me at all, I've never experienced or read about it. I had no idea what happened to me. I don't know, it was strange. I was saying strange things, very strange thoughts. I didn't really know what happened. So my first experience was I was somebody in a Christian church. Anytime I go to a Wilson, somebody go to a Wilson to confirm what happened to me. I told them what it was all about. I spent some time with them, and then some of them were the man there. And I was really watching.
There must have been some individuality in order to answer the question.
Well, I didn't know what if that was crazy, but it was the same, which it was.
Sure.
I didn't know what happened at all.
Apparently had no questions. When he went to the temple to the
Mm-hmm.
when you get after you went to the hospital, you know, there was no more wondering what happened.
Well, I went to Joel Coulson, I don't know what happened.
Why did you go over there?
I thought I was walking forward in the morning because I saw one of the people in the crib and I was there. I used to see the original person in the crib. And there was a small figure in the crib when I was a baby. I should have been around the hospice. And I walked through. So I went to him because he was a figure I saw in the book. It was the same person. And I was in the old days, the circuit and sages. I wasn't looking for anything. I just do it. And then the reason was always the ambition. It just happened.
There must have been some motivation to make it happen.
Different people have experiences like this, different ones. Here I was from New York City. I had an unusual experience. The Maharishi had an experience in India, and people who were in Virginia, and people knew exactly what was going on. And I was probably the first one I've ever heard of it like this. So I felt very strange. I need to be friendly. I need to work with people like me. And here I am. Okay, it's press out time.
Good. Can I have a beautiful company here?
Thank you. Yeah.
Today we have some most brand cookies, all natural fruit sweetened cookies.
Surprise me on that one.
And now we have cookie
crumbs.
That was
good.
We have a set of most brand cookies. There's a whole wheat flour, oat flour, wheat jam, beans, raisins, egg whites, canola. Chicken, salad, vanilla.
Hallelujah!
Knuckles, bananas, apples, raspberries.
Can't fail to be enlightened after you eat it.
Thank you very much.
And last but not least, we have figs. Mission figs. Remember to love yourself, to worship yourself, to pray to yourself, to bow to yourself. For God dwells in you as you. I'm Shanti, peace. You're all finished.